You're listening to Mystic Falls Memories of the Vampire Diaries Rewatch Podcast. I'm Maddie, and my co-host Jen joins me as we take a deep dive into the ships we adore and all of the crazy drama surrounding Mystic Falls.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
That's good. Hello, people. We're back.
We are. That's the world. Well, actually, no, we're not even getting into it. Like, you know.
Like, I am just like, we're taking a break from the insanity that is happening right now, post-election, and talking about things that really matter, like stupid CW shows about vampires, because that's pretty much all my brain can handle right now.
I was literally saying that's the only thing like I have bandwidth for right now.
Yeah,
is...
I just can't. Like, I'm so emotionally, aren't you like emotionally drained? I'm just like exhausted.
Yeah.
I just can't anymore. I'm just tired. I literally just told the internet, let me know when it's over. Tell me who wins. Peace out. It's just, and I lived through 2000, man. I was an adult. That was a shit show. And this is like, so much worse.
Yeah, I was a blissfully ignorant child that I knew, like,
God, it lasted forever, and this makes 2000 look like it's Disneyland, seriously. Anyways,
oi. So this is episode 106, because we kind of fast forwarded through all of the last episode boring. We talked about all the like the boring Elena still episodes. Thinks Stefan's human,
yeah.
Stuff, and
yeah,
we're getting to the good stuff.
Elena knows.
Also, I had a revelation just because, like, just realizing how much, like, the TV landscape and stuff has changed. That, like, the start of the episode, even though there already is, like, a previously on, they kind of bookend and use some of the last footage from the last episode.
Yeah.
In kind of a, she figures out he doesn't get old and he heals fast and, like, all the list, blah, blah, blah. But part of the recycling, I realized, because I was thinking, why are they doing this? There was already previously on. And then I realized, oh, yeah, people used to watch TV live. So if a new show was in its first season, sometimes you would just kind of like quickly recap stuff in the episode if people are watching this for the first time.
That is a fact.
Haven't just been binging the whole thing. So that it's a way, if you want to get in new viewers in like that first front nine, you kind of have little snippets where you kind of catch the people up to speed. Whereas if someone discovers a new like a new show in like the same week that episode 6 comes out, that they would just be able to binge and catch up, or probably even just watch the whole season, you know?
Right. Because this like, is like, this is on before streaming, right?
This is on before streaming. And it's just how drastic that world is, that like, they planned things around people watching TV live.
Like, for example, I have not watched any of The Bachelorette, and I know I can just go on Hulu and just, like, catch up in a lickety-split.
Boom. Especially since The Bachelorette is only on, like, this current Bachelorette, she will be here for a total of 4 episodes before it changes out.
I feel like that's all I'm really interested in, but I don't know who the new Bachelorette is, so maybe I'll get more interested if I knew who the... I'm, like, not in an encyclopedia Bachelorette. I, like,
It's Tasia from Colton's season, who then dated John Paul Jones in Paradise.
Okay.
Yeah.
That means nothing to me. I know who Colton is, who apparently has, like, a restraining order against him.
I know.
What the crack is that about?
He started stalking Cassie, which
he's,
I guess,
like,
he could have told
her
by the
but,
fence,
like,
jump.
Didn't he like jump a wall? I didn't watch his season. Did he like jump a wall and stalk her and basically like force her back into the relationship with him? Isn't that how they ended?
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, this is just par for the course of him. Anyway.
Should have been a red flag, but
yeah, you know, gotta listen to those red flags, lady. They're for reals. Okay, so Elena knows.
So Elena knows.
Praise be to Jesus. Hey, we don't have notes. We're winging it today.
We are. We're streams of consciousness.
We're
going to
freewheel this bitch. It's going to be great. Okay, so I think the main thing that we need to really focus on is this is a very big episode because it really cements Stefan's character in a very specific way. And Stefan's character is all about free will.
Yes.
He's got a Jones for it, okay? Like, the guy's obsessed with free will. So this is all about him telling Elena all the truth, and thank God, because he's a terrible liar. And then she has the free will to choose whatever
what she's going to do about it. Yeah.
And Elena and choices are a major theme in this show. Elena having the power to choose.
Yes. Which, season four. We'll get there.
I'm so mad. I still can't talk about it.
We're still so mad about that. I think we'll be eternally better.
It's going to be so difficult for me to talk about in a calm manner because I still have rage. It's a lot of anger.
It's baffling because we're on the opposite sides of the spectrum and we both have rage about it.
We just have so much rage about it. Yes, but like for very
because they managed to piss off both sides in one move.
They did. It was spectacular. I mean, really, when you're coming down to it, to really hack off both major group fandoms in your show, that takes a special talent. Really
Let's just make everybody mad.
Let's just piss off everybody. We're not going to get anybody happy, so we're just going to piss them off. Okay, so Alina's like a little like, hey, are you going to murder me?
Okay, so I was going to bring up that like in the vampire craze and like the heyday of all of this, this is the first time we actually see the female lead be freaked out by the existence of vampires.
I agree. She is,
and that
like,
her boyfriend's a vampire.
Right. She's like, listen, I'm not down with this and I find you unattractive to me right now, and I don't.
But also, Stefan is many things, but like,
run. I feel like there's a running, and then
yes. Yeah, so she first, like, what are you? It's not possible. Everything you know is about to change. What are Stefan's you?
So dramatic, God. Yes.
And so then he like Stefan confirms it again, and then she freaks out and runs. But then Stefan, the idiot that he is, obviously Elena's freaked out, but he speeds over to like block her entrance to her car.
Right.
And you're like, Stefan.
And then he speed stalks her into her bedroom and like slams the door shut in like a very serial killer like way. I'm like, Stefan, none of this is comforting. You're not comforting anyone.
You are not making your case that like you're the good guy here.
You're like coming off as stalker. I have to know her, boy. Like, it's not cool. Like, I know you have that side of you, but contain it. This is not the time. Check your chill, man. You just gotta, like, power through and not present yourself like you are coming straight out of Scream and, like, you're the murderer. That's all I'm saying.
Because it's, like, from Elena's point of view, it's obvious of, like, he's gonna kill me.
I also like how Stefan like almost immediately downshifts into, it wasn't me, it was totally Damon. Like, almost immediately. It's like, no, I didn't do anything bad. It was my brother. And that is something we should truly focus on. I'm like, Stefan, shirking
because my plan to capture him failed. And
right.
So...
Oh my God. It was like, I still get, like, the stupidity with Stefan and Damon and the trying to kill Damon and how stupid Stefan is about trying to kill Damon and then not wanting to kill Damon, it just irritates me. Like, you could have solved the Damon problem in episode 3. Like, Stefan just needs to get honest about the fact that he doesn't want to kill his brother. Like, can we just, that's why Damon
exactly.
is dead. Okay, we're just going to spoil it for you guys. Stefan doesn't want to kill Damon. That's why Damon isn't dead. And Damon doesn't want to kill Stefan. That's why Stefan's not dead, okay? This is, like, a very toxic relationship, and they enjoy the toxicity.
Because otherwise, it wouldn't have been 145 years of them, like, back and forth annoying each other.
They're literally,
they would have just
like
killed each other by now.
Yeah, they're literally, like, a married couple that, like, breaks up and divorces and then gets remarried. Like, they're Susan Lucci, but with each other.
And it's the same way with, like, Klaus and Elijah of just, like...
Yeah, this just yeah. These vampires, they have problems with toxic relationships in their life, but it's what defines their eternity, and they don't know how to break free of it, and that's just how it goes.
And like, and Klaus has the luxury of the daggers to just like make you dormant for a few decades.
Also that, and Elena is just jumping into the toxicity pool and is gonna stir things up because
like just you know, right off the deep end.
Why not? Yeah, so I think the part where he... Okay, so that was the bedroom. And then, like, she decides to have coffee with him or something?
Yeah.
Is that how that happened? Right.
It just immediately... Well, first we get after the bedroom. Then we cut to our first little bit of 1864.
Right. Catherine.
with floppy hair.
Were you really excited when you saw Catherine for the first time?
I was. Well, part of me was just excited because I was like, I didn't realize they have the budget for this.
I know. I was so excited. I was like, flashback, bitches. Yeah. I was like, I didn't know we were going to do that.
Pretty dresses and stuff, because I'm like, Catherine's dresses in this episode cost more than Elena's entire wardrobe up to this point.
Like, I would like to know where that budget went, because Arrow didn't get it. Also, we're going to have to address the time the promotional materials that this show got were amazing.
Amazing.
And like no other show on the CW has ever gotten the promotion that the Vampire Diaries and I would like to know where that money went, because none of the other shows got it once it went off the air.
Like, Riverdale kind of gets it.
Well, the Vampire Diaries was getting better promotion in their final season than Arrow was getting, like, in their second.
Yeah.
Like, that shouldn't be a thing, but it is. I feel like maybe the actors and actresses were, like, more game for, like, having, like, fancy photo shoots, and Stephen Amell was
that's very true.
In the ass about it, so I feel like that's what happens.
Yes.
Okay, so we get to see Catherine, and it's like she gets out of her carriage. It's a great entrance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and once again, it's just bringing up of like, dang it, why does this have to be in Virginia? Because then when you see the black servants, and you're just like,
Okay, yeah, the racism is real. Also, like, weren't they, I don't understand, because, like, okay, they pick and choose what they're going to keep from the books, and obviously they keep their names, and these guys were born in Italy. That's why they're Italian. I have a hard time with, like, really prominent Italians in 1864 in the
Virginia.
South.
Yes.
In Virginia. I'm like, you know, Boston.
When, like, Italians have, like, slurs given to them for, like,
we could have literally picked anywhere on the East Coast, and that would have made a hell of a lot more sense. I'm not saying that there weren't Italian people in Virginia during that time frame. I'm just saying it's kind of like they were like, okay, well, maybe we would like to shoot this in New York, but we can't, so it's just going to be in the South because Atlanta's cheap.
I'm still like, just make it Pennsylvania, because there's
or
woods
something.
In Pennsylvania,
yeah.
You know?
Okay, like, I would have believed it's Pennsylvania. I'm really sure. Stefan came over on the boat, and he just stayed put for...
They went to
years.
Philly, and then went to the country, and
right.
There we go.
That's fine. That's a thing. That can happen. Okay, that has been a thing that's really bothered me for a long time, was the fact that, hi, two 100% Italian dudes that are descended from whatever are in the middle of the fucking South, but whatever. Anyways,
yeah,
Catherine's dress is amazing. So, and you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Rose's entrance on the Titanic.
It does.
It's got a Titanic feel.
Because you get the, like, the hat.
To rip off other people with the hat, yeah. It was so ripped off from Titanic, but it's okay. Nina Dobrev pulled it off.
Call me Catherine. And you could just tell, like, the vibe was different, and you're like,
literally,
oh.
Literally one of the best things about this show is watching Nina Dobrev play Catherine and, like, make her completely different from Elena. And it's a ton of little things that she does, and it's really spectacular. It's quite a statement to her acting ability.
Okay.
Okay.
So the last thing I will just, and I will drop this, and we will get into it later in a more Bonnie-centric episode.
Oh,
but
great.
A couple of weeks, speaking of the Black servants who were probably slaves, we don't know, but they was fighting for the Confederacy.
They
this
were
is Virginia.
Slaves.
Yeah. And so,
they were
like,
call spade a spade, girl. It's
but funny. A few weeks ago, I was browsing on Netflix, and TVD was included in the Black Lives Matter collection, and I was like, Netflix, no.
Are you for real?
Yes, and I was like, no.
I can't touch that. We're just going to leave that alone. I think people can figure out for themselves.
Figure out between all of the 1864 stuff, and also just how dirty this show does Bonnie.
Does Bonnie the dirtiest. It's the dirtiest of the dirt. Like, it's not cool.
Bonnie and just Black women and witches in general, that you're just like, no, you do not get to be in the BLM collection.
Here's one positive thing I will say with her. I always liked that they had it be Black women who were witches. Like, that they were these really powerful, mystical creatures, even though society tried to, like, keep them down. You know what I mean? And take away that they were, like, really the most powerful people in society, which I love that messaging. So from that standpoint, I always really, 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 really like that about the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, but then it, like, literally stops there.
But then it stops. It's not like Bonnie actually gets legit storylines, and that's you know, it's
besides love ones dying, basically.
All, like, cool, yeah, you're being, like, that's why I can't listen to Julie Plec. Like, I can't. I just can't. Like, girl, hush yourself, because you were a mess in your shows, and you did not, you totally, it was totally, like, let's shirk the minority players and, like, just actors, and it's not good.
Yeah.
Anyway. Back to Stefan and Elena.
So back to present time, and they're basically outside of the grill, and just having a casual
tea? Like, are they drinking tea? It's basically, like, the rundown of the rules. Like, they're going to tell you all the rules.
Here's all the vampire stereotypes that we're debunking, because modern vampire stuff doesn't like to use those.
We're putting our own twist on it. So we're going to keep some of the shit that you know about vampires from Anne Rice. And then we're going to do some other stuff because we be cool and we're going to make our own mythology. And I will say another strong point of the Vampire Diaries is they have very good mythology for the first 3 years.
Yes.
And then they just kind of like.
Then it goes off the rails.
Then it just everything goes off the rails. So. We're explaining about,
but it's easy to follow lore for those first 3 years, for sure.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you already know what all the rules are, so it's fine. We're not going to get into it. But Elena, the real tricky part is she's just like, "Hey, so how about all those murders?" And Stefan was just like, "You know, it was Damon, but he was just hungry.
He went all shack if it wasn't me."
Yeah, it was literally, it was seriously, it wasn't me. But then, like, he defends Damon because he's like, "Well, if he wanted to kill them, he could."
Yeah, because then she brings up Caroline, and he's like. Yeah. He was feeding on her, like, it's all good.
Yeah, he erased it, so she doesn't remember. And Elena's like, "Are you fucking kidding me right now? This is what you're telling me?" And then Stefan's like, "Oh, no.
Stefan has the wherewithal to at least be like, "None of this is okay. It's just what's happening."
Yeah, so. Okay, so then he's like, "Give me a day. And then once you have all the information at your fingertips, you can make your choice." Stefan and choices. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to make fun of Stefan and his obsession with choices and free will, but I actually really love this about his character.
Yeah. And, oh, also, before the coffee shop is Damon realizing that, like, he doesn't have his ring, and he found, like, the druggies and stuff and basically drained them dry, and has a sassy little phone call with Stefan about, like, getting his ring back, which I love. And
I just also like that, like, he just casually murders, like, 5 people.
Yeah, and it's just, like, pouring, like, booze on them to, like, burn the bodies and stuff. And
so Damon is stuck inside for this episode. And what does Damon do when Damon's bored? Not good things.
One of my favorite sass lines from that, because he's like, "Where's my ring?" And Stefan's like, "I need time to get it." He's like, "Did you FedEx it to Rome?" Like.
I might have.
But that's great. And then Vicky is still kicking. Oh, and Vicky. I like that they get a little meta of just like, "You just don't want to die." Like, I know. Because at this point, Damon's like assaulted her like so many times.
Vicky is so much the Cordelia in that she's the bait all the time. And she's like the one who's always getting kidnapped. But like, nobody gets fed on in this show more than Vicky. It's ridiculous.
It really is. And so
he decides to cure her. He heals her with his vampire blood.
Because so like, he wants someone Vicky's to party fine. With.
Right. Vicky's fine. So, all right. That's Vicky. Then we flash back to now Stefan's taking Elena to his old house, which is just bricks. Yes.
And he's like, Elena's still trepidatious because Stefan is still like, a vampire monster and potential murderer, and now he's
right, and she's driven her to the middle of the woods, like deep into the woods. I'm like, Elena, you're so stupid. And to add to her stupidity, Stefan's just doing that whole eerie, super calm thing that, like,
yes,
sociopath kind of like no emotion. Like, this used to be my home. I'm going to tell you everything.
When it should be like when we're leaving the coffee shop. It should be like, I'm going to take you to this place to explain it so you're not just driving to the middle of the freaking woods.
A cell phone. Right, exactly. It's like, where are we going, Stefan? Where are you showing me? I'm like, ugh. Just be normal, Stefan. Where's my
Because, like, did he just, like,
because Elena was driving too. So like,
is Elena driving?
Yes.
It's like, so he has a gun near her. Like, take the left.
No, it's like Stefan's like Siri doing the directions in 2.2 miles.
I also like how Elena did not remotely expect him to be, how old is he, 182 years old? Like, she went, well, maybe he's been alive since the 50s, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But I was like, here's my thing. Does it matter, Elena? Like, if he was alive, like, let's just say he was, like, 17 in the 50s.
Is when he got turned, yeah.
Like, is that really substantially better than him being, I don't know, 150 years old? You'll notice, guys, that I can't do math. So I'm just going to, like, throw out numbers and you can get annoyed about it. But I'm never,
I know. Part of me is almost thinking it's like the 100-year-old thing is just because it's like, dude, I was about to bang you.
Like, you're older than my grandpa. Like, yeah, he is. Like, yeah. Ian used to say this all the time, like, it's wildly inappropriate that these two super old dudes are going after, like, a not even legal kid. Like,
yes.
I feel like Stefan has a little bit more of, like, because he's stuck at 17, but David's 22, so what's that about? Okay, moving on. So we get to see the bricks that used to be Stefan's old home, and he was, like, he makes a very passing reference to, like, this was our home before the boarding house was built. And then I feel like in the show, they never tell us when the boarding house was built.
Well, they said 50 years before the boarding house was built.
Oh, they did. Okay, yeah. I did miss that. All right. How did they build the boarding house?
Well, it's, I guess, like, there were still Salvators, but they wanted to, it's like rebranding, if you will.
Basically, we're distancing ourselves from, like, the plantation and stuff, but now we're going to have
the whole
our
fighting for the South and stuff, you know?
Yeah, so now we have a boarding house, so, like,
I
new
love
legacy.
How Stefan is all, like, all about Damon and how Damon went to war to please his father. Like, this was such a, like, a heroic thing, and I'm like, Stefan, he fought for the South. It's not something you brag about. Like, that's not something you should be like, good job, Damon.
Brush it under the rug.
Yep. Okay, but we get to a classic scene of Salvatore boys being friends and playing football.
Playing football, like, it's like a new invention, basically.
It's a new game. It's adorable. And every time I see Elena in this dress, I think of the blooper where Nina trips over her dress.
Yes, there's a lot of great bloopers from this episode, because she also knocks over one of the statues at one point.
Yeah, they don't help her up. They just laugh their asses off. And it's really funny. Like,
yes, because
almost falling down.
Ian, like, dies because he gets to the super high-pitched laugh. And
yes, he does. But it's really funny. Because Nina couldn't, like,
get up either.
She couldn't get the hoop skirt sorted out. So it was crazy.
No, I've been in a hoop skirt where, like, if you go down, it's like there's...
When were you in a hoop skirt?
Theater.
Interesting.
We did a lot of, like, old school stuff.
Old school, old-timey theater?
Old-timey.
Okay. I feel like this is the most un-Catherine of Catherine. I feel like Nina really punches her up a notch, but she's, like... She's still presenting herself as a nice, polite lady. And, oh, these boys. What are you? Is someone going to chase me? Blah, blah. She's very seductive.
Like, it's still, like, a very outwardly flirty for, like, 1800s, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, listen, Catherine didn't really abide by, like, she says she abides by, like, society rules and has to be a proper girl, but she's really not.
No, because, like, when... Because also, baby Stefan's getting this flirt on when he's, like, you know, you could play with us, but my brother likes to play rough. And then Catherine's like, somehow I think you play rougher. And you're like, down, girl.
But I mean, like, can you blame Catherine for, like, having the hots for both of them? I mean,
it's true. Even if their hair isn't spectacular, but.
There's some bad wigs.
There's some bad wigs, for sure.
Okay.
She saw potential.
Okay, then there's more Stefan talking about things, and then Catherine is still around, and then we get Ian, his super great Civil War, whatever. So we're just going to boil this down. Here's why Stefan is, like, super extra about free will, because he was compelled by Catherine. So he feels like he never really had choices, that a lot of what, as you find out later, what led to his death was because she was compelling him. And had he had his own free will, he would have been like, hey, crazy vampire lady, stop feeding off
my neck. Yeah, because it's a mixture of, like, obviously the supernatural element of vampire compulsion, but also Catherine is a master manipulator.
Right.
And he was a 17-year-old boy, which doesn't take a master manipulator to.
Also, I love that they gave us we got to see some of the Dobbsley chemistry in the first official sex scene on the show. That, or not the first, but with not the first official sex scene, but the first sex scene with Paul Wesley. And it's nice. It's good.
It's but a then good one. Well, mm-hmm. In the pantaloons and whatnot.
In the pantaloons, and yeah, it works. It works. But then she bites him. And he's completely terrified. And he's like, I don't want to be doing this anymore. And she's like, you're fine. She compels him to not be afraid. So, again, this is another aspect of Stefan's character that I really like. He's obsessed with choice. He's obsessed with free will. He to the point that he actually kind of goes out of his way and makes some... His desire to respect Elena's free will kind of leads to making some ridiculous choices later on, but whatever. The man has a path and he stays on it. So you got to respect him for that, even if he makes no sense sometimes. But the whole point of it is he never wants anyone, he never wants to do to her what was done to him, you know? And he realizes how much power he has as a vampire and how careful he has to be with it. Whereas Damon's very reckless and selfish with the power that he has as a vampire. So that's just, we're just drawing distinctions. That's all.
Tis true. Speaking of Damon being reckless, cut back to the mansion. And
segue.
In another iconic scene that I love, the Enjoy the Silence sequence, because A, it's just a really fun cover of the song. The CW has great, like, choices of, they found the, like, hipster band that covers the Depeche Mode song, and it's a lot of fun. But mainly, they're just, like, partying, and you get the shot of, you know, Damon on the, like, the banister upstairs doing his little hip.
The
little
infamous Damon dance. They made Ian Somerhalder do it every fan convention.
Which, you know, he just ate up. Because, yeah. If there was really a person that was made for cons, like, yeah, and, like, the attention and all of that that requires there, Ian is one of those actors that it's like, cons suit you well.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's one of these great scenes because it's like, Vampire Diaries is kind of, is really good at subverting expectations in the first couple seasons. So, like, you're just figuring that they're just going to party and dance and hang and whatever.
Yeah. Because they're just, like, chilling and all that. And then it gets to, like, a slow dance where then it gets all serious. And Vicky's, basically, her high is wearing off. And now she's all, like, here's some sad, tragic backstory to make me more sympathetic. Just before. Right. The, like, the worst line, and it's just, it's so true, but it's also Damon just being really bad. He's like, wow, you really don't have a hint of self-esteem, do you?
It's a great line. He had so many great lines. I wish he just kept him like this, you know?
And then
Spike kept his snark.
Tis true. But then, like, I think part of him does kind of realize, like, your life is so terrible that even though what I'm doing right now isn't great, it's honestly not, like, it might even be an improvement in this scenario. And
well,
so,
I think it's interesting the order of events, because they're dancing and then they go into Stefan's bedroom to trash it.
Yes, I love the pettiness of that. Of just, like,
very petty, very petty. And then he picks up Stefan's picture of Catherine, which again connects to the flashbacks, and he gets very sad. Like, immediately you can
see the face and he's heartbroken. Yeah.
Right, that he's heartbroken. And then what does he do next? He kills Vicky.
Yes,
so,
but with, like, no lead up, because in the scene,
no lead up. Yeah, it's just like,
especially when you're watching it for the first time, you're just like,
it's like, what? Yeah,
he just crazy. Immediately out of nowhere just snaps her neck.
Well, and it's a really cool way that they're paralleling the flashbacks in present time, because as Stefan is explaining how he was turned into a vampire, Damon's turning Vicky into a vampire. So we get to see it in how what's going that what Catherine what Damon's
the
doing
flashbacks
to,
always had good parallels, yeah.
Right. What Damon is doing to Vicky is what was done to him and Stefan. So he's just repeating this terrible behavior. And I think it's a very important segue in like understanding Damon's character that when he gets hurt, he lashes out and he makes terrible decisions. He does mean things because he's a sad boy.
It's true.
Can you hear my voice is teeming with sympathy? But yes, I would say like of all the deaths on Vampire Diaries, I think Vicky has like she's definitely in the top five. She has like the one of the most shocking best deaths ever.
Because also it was our first neck snap because we were used to like the feeding and stuff, and you're like that's par for the course. But you're not expecting someone's neck to just get randomly snapped.
Well,
know?
And I think like when they snap necks, this is something that Joss Whedon said about on Buffy that always stuck with me. And because I thought it was really interesting. So spoilers on Buffy. If you haven't seen Buffy, I get to spoil stuff because it's been on the show. It has been on the air for 20 years.
For decades. So
right. So when Angel kills Jenny Callender, Whedon said that they had a couple decisions that they had to make. They're like, oh, do we have him be vamped out or do we have him kill her
normal face?
Regular, normal face. And he's like, I felt like the normal face was way too creepy and people were never going to accept Buffy making out with him again. So we went with vamp face. But he was like, what we decided to do was have him snap her neck. Like, and the reason why he snapped her neck is like, we thought there was something almost flippant about it. Like, he wasn't even going to bother to feed on her, like not worth her time.
Yeah.
So the fact that Damon is like, ugh, you know, he just like the fact that he's
bored.
It's really a thing of him. I'm bored. This could be fun. I'm just gonna snap your neck, and it's really kind of a flippant, just very, you know, Damon doesn't always put a lot of thought into things, even on his best day. But this,
and of course, Vicky gushes that like Jeremy's in love with me, and he's like, I'm Elena's brother.
Yeah, that'll work. Yeah, that'll piss Stefan off. Yeah, so and a lot of this is just geared towards, you know, Damon's very, yeah. Most of Damon's focus this year is, you know,
because then like
pissing off Stefan.
You know, when.
Did I lose you?
Hello, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Okay.
That was fun.
You're going to have to edit that out. What happened?
Oh, this will be a fun one to edit. But there we go.
Yeah, have fun.
But anywho, then kind of moving on to like the next scene, because it was just like it was a cut to commercial moment of, you know, neck snap, boom. And then we kind of get right back into it when it gets back from commercial. And it's just like, what happened? He's like, I killed you. You're turning into a vampire. And she's just like, you're wasted.
But like he doesn't help her at all. Like it's like it's so he just like she's like completely freaking out and she feels weird and like he just lets her go home.
Well, at first he like kind of starts to help her, but then he realizes like the chaos that could come out of her and decides, oh, this is perfect to mess with Stefan. Because at first he's like, hey, you should stay put because you're about to like get weird. And then she starts like freaking out a little bit more and he's like, oh wait, no, you should go. Actually, you should go check on your boyfriend Jeremy. That's what you should do. Yeah.
Which is I mean, listen. People, this is, you know, Damon has threatened Jeremy's life more than once. That's all I'm saying. Wow, there's a lot of making out too. There's like a lot of like Vicky wanting to eat him,
yeah,
making out, which is an interesting, yeah. Okay, so we're still talking about Damon and Elena are still in the woods, aren't they?
Well,
oh, he tells her about the necklace.
Yes,
because she's like, "Have you ever come? You know,
mind control me?" And he's like, "No,
no."
Gave you the necklace. Protect you from Damon.
Yeah, magic necklace. Yeah,
and then a pause. And from me.
Don't you love super dramatic Stefan? I just love super dramatic Stefan. He's just
he's so extra.
He's so extra. He's so dramatic. I love it. All right. Then what happens next, Maddie? I'm forgetting.
No. So then basically Vicky shows up at the house and makes out with Jeremy for a little bit. But then she's like, I'm also really hungry. Like, what do you have to eat? So then like Jeremy's just like, dude, you're high. Like you obviously have the munchies and stuff. So she's like freaking out, and then he calls Matt over, and God bless poor Matt that
just Matty Blue Eyes in his little striped Abercrombie polo. And his...
like, they could not make that kid more Abercrombie if they tried. Like,
they really do. He's
literally the catalog walking.
And so it's like the moments where you see Matt with Vicky, you're, it's just, you think about the whole progression of the whole show. And it's just like, Matt is such a tragic character because he really would have had just like a simple but nice life. And then this tornado of craziness rolls into town and like drags him down like with them. And you're just like, it's sad. But
I have like this strange idea in my head. Like, I think sometimes I think the best way would have been to end this show would have been to have Elena end up with Matt. In my crazy world. Like, sometimes I think maybe I would like that better.
Yeah, I kind of do. Of, like...
like, you know what I
somehow
mean?
Somehow get Elena to be human again and just end up with
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah, and, like, she... yeah, and because Matt's...
but, like, have a season of and... having them build up while you're also doing Steriline or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And then something. Damon and Bonnie. Yeah, like...
basically anything other than what we got, yeah. I think I would have liked.
Or Damon doing the heroic sacrifice to save everyone.
Well, that's, when we get to that episode, there's going to be a lot of me yelling about that because it was perfect. It was perfect, and then they ruined it.
It's a long road to get there, which...
we're going to get there, and when we get there, there will be a lot of yelling.
Notice that we're like... that. Multiple months into this and we're on episode 6, so getting to season 8
we're talking about season 8, the very last one. We got a long road to...
that's a long road ahead.
All right, so
basically, so that Matt's trying to like talk to her and be like, hey, what's going on, like, what are you on? And like, she just says like she hurts and like, and it's like everywhere. And then Elena and Stefan walk in and Stefan's like, oh crap, I know what's happening.
I love that Stefan just does, like, his, like, thingy, like, where he kind of,
steps
like,
up as a leader like, and just, like, starts eyes. Getting commanding.
Yeah, he, like, looks in her eyes and is just like, oh, you're transitioning. Like, how do you know that? How do you know that? What are the signs in the eyes? They never tell you. It's just Stefan knows.
Because I feel like part of it's, like, a heartbeat things. Something or, like, along those lines.
Maybe, like, yeah, but, like, they could give us some context, but they don't. They never do. And he does this a couple times in the show where he'll just, like, look at somebody and he'll be like, they're fine. Or, no, they're transitioning. It's like, okay, but you need to explain to me how you know that. But you don't get an explanation. You just have to trust that Stefan mm-hmm. is 175 years old and just knows it.
But
shit.
Also, so, this is another like, okay. one of those scenes where, because part of it is just seeing babyface Matt once again drives home that, like, these, everyone in this room is supposed to be, like, with the exception of Jeremy, who's like 16 or like 15, 16, mm-hmm. are all supposed to be 17 years old. And mm-hmm. Paul is an adult.
They all look
he is a man. And it's just, it sometimes it's glaringly apparent, especially because I've been deep in my Julie and the Phantoms obsession this past few weeks where they.
That show, at least the kids look like.
Exactly. Because so... like the boys are in their early 20s, like, because. During like filming the male lead is 21, but he actually looks like could pass for a high schooler. And then the like lead was an actual teenager, so she was 15 during filming. But
is that her actual yes. voice?
They're wow. insanely talented because they all like it's all their voices and playing the instruments and all of that. But
I know,
dang.
But anywho, but just kind of seeing a show where teenagers actually look like teenagers and then going back to this.
Listen, they didn't do that. They didn't do that in no, my day, guys. Like, listen, I'm born in 81.
And the CW still doesn't do it. Like, it's rare.
Well, yeah, I feel like they're trying to, like, try a little bit better. But like,
I think they got enough pushback with like, Riverdale and...
Yeah, Riverdale's, like, mid-20s, so...
Yeah, because...
they're all like 24.
They've gotten
25.
Some pushback of like basically having like these characters in their mid to late 20s be teenagers and then do things that are not safe for like teenagers. And it is just slightly less creepy because the actors are adults, but like basically like Betty doing a strip.
Well, you know why
like,
they do it.
No, you.
You know why they're. You know why they hire actors that are adults
exactly so it's
and not teenagers. Well. I don't know if people do. I know you do, but it's because kids can't
hours,
work, you
yeah.
know, there's a lot of union rules with working with kids. So if you're under you're under 18, they have to do all of these different, there's shooting rules and how long a kid can shoot, and they have to get breaks for school and that kind of stuff. So an adult actor can work a 14-hour day.
Like 14, 16, fine. 18, so like they, crazy stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. So like, that's why they do it.
It boils down to flexibility and money.
Flexibility of shooting schedule. Exactly. So how I wish the boys looked like Paul Wesley when I was going to school with them, but they did not. And I feel like people don't really get this about boys. There's like a second growth spurt that happens like kind of in the like mid 20s to the 30s where they like get their man body. It's very interesting. Like, I guarantee you all of the guys that I went to high school with look very different nowadays, just because there's just a total, there's like two separate phases with boys. They have their boy body, and then there's like a step very later in life, kind of, not later in life, but like later past the teens and adolescence, where they have like this other.
Yes. Which thing. Paul Wesley has definitely gone through.
Exactly. You know what I'm talking about. Exactly. Okay. All right. See, this is why we work.
So then basically Stefan starts barking orders of like, send her up to bed. Like, she'll be fine.
I like it when he's bossy, though. I like
he does take part, and it's kind of great.
And I like everybody just listens to him. Everybody just listens to Seven.
He is, because, like, they're all just so clueless of just, like, okay.
But it's soothing. It's soothing. It's kind of like, it's like he kind of takes on the parent role.
Because, like, where on earth is Jenna? We don't know.
Because there's no parents. Jenna's not around. There's no Jenna. So Stephen's like, okay, I have the hots for one of these kids, but, you know, I'm going to parent the rest of them.
Basically.
I don't love Nina's acting when she finds out about Vicky. It seems kind of overwrought. And I'm kind of like, Alina, you really don't even like Vicky that much. So I just feel like her a panic about it is
well,
just
it's
a little...
more like that her brother like, is in
girl,
direct
you
danger.
Weren't besties. Yeah. Yeah, it's like you weren't besties. I kind of feel like Elena likes to look like the person who likes everybody.
Is
like,
doesn't
girls,
care.
She does it, but she doesn't have the cojones to like admit to it. So she's like that. She's like that.
Sounds about right. And then we get some stupid Founders Council stuff. And you're just like, ugh.
Oh, I don't care about the Founders Council stuff. Is so. What I want to talk about is when Damon gets into the house and Elena knows what he is now. Except he's already been invited.
Yeah, because like when she immediately tries to shut the door and you get the tense like Jeremy go upstairs moment, and it's actually kind of creepy. But then you get the great line of like, "I'm not going to kill you. I wouldn't serve my greater agenda."
Well, here's the other thing though. Like, I love that the Vampire Diaries never really. I don't think that they ever undo the invitation thing. Like, once you're invited, you're invited. I can't remember if Bonnie ever learns a spell
undo it.
To uninvite. Because they did that on
They
Buffy.
Do that on True Blood like, as well, but they, like...
Oh god, it was like the best scene when, like, it was so creepy because Angel is gonna like, he was stalking Buffy's mom and she was trying to get groceries and get in the house. He's talking about how like they had sex and it's like really disturbing, and then he's gonna go into the house and kill her mother, and then she's like stands there and he can't get in. She's like, sorry Angel, change the locks, and then slams the door in his face. It's spectacular.
Classic.
By the way, I love Buffy and you're gonna hear a lot about
this
Buffy.
Is true, but you should probably know that by now if you've heard of us.
Yeah, if you haven't figured that out, that's just the way it's going to go. You're going to hear about Buffy and Arrow.
These are facts. But the only interesting tidbit as far as with the Founders Council is that basically the reason why Logan Fell is after the Gilbert Watch is they basically, through a couple other artifacts, they create this like compass that points to vampires. And so that's now like a little MacGuffin that we have for the next few episodes or kind of throughout season one. And so...
I would say what season one does good is it breaks up the bigger story.
Yeah, so there's little tidbits. So this is kind of the first checkpoint is like now we have a vampire compass. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're shifting into the next phase. Like, and as they shift into new phases, I will say that
is super well planned out. Yeah.
Like, yeah, really well planned out, but also, like, not the most interesting of seasons in terms of, like, I was never a big fan of the Founders Council.
No, because as we kind of talked about last episode of just, like, they're so out of their depth, it's comical.
Right, exactly. It's like, okay, sure, if you're really going to kill a vampire, yeah.
But anywho.
So then doesn't Damon, like, Damon's like, okay, Vicky's transitioning and you need to kill her. And Stefan's like, no, we're not going to kill her. And I'm like, you should probably kill her.
That kind of comes up a bit more next episode. So basically, yeah.
Oh, does it?
So basically,
they all blend
Vicky freaks out because she almost saved Jeremy again. So then she just runs out into the woods and... So Stefan's like, I can track her. And so Elena's just like, go. And just stay on task, dude. Like, but basically it takes into the night and basically Stefan kind of catches up with her and she's freaking out and crying and not sure she wants to do this. And like,
but he's so, Stefan. And he's like, it's going to be okay.
Like, I can help you. Like, it's your choice. You can make it. Like, blah, blah, blah. But before.
I think he explains, does he explain this? Well, he explains it later on. But I think the thing you have to know that I don't know if they really get into right now. Maybe they get into it next episode. Is like the amplifying of
personality. Yeah, that's next episode.
When you become a vampire.
Yeah.
Is that next episode? Okay.
So,
I can't remember. All right.
Yeah. We'll file that away. But basically, before Vicky can make her choice, Logan Fell shows up and the vampire compass points to Stefan. And so he shoots Stefan multiple times with wooden bullets. And you think that Stefan's about to die. But then Damon shows up out of nowhere and eats Logan Fell. Yay. Because that character was useless.
Yay!
Because that's why I barely remembered he existed, mm-hmm. because he literally lasts for only like 3 episodes. But
he really was like one of the shortest. The only other guy I think was the shortest character in history of Vampire Diaries is coming up in a couple episodes. Remember the guy, the Bonnie?
Oh, the bar? Yeah. Frederick.
You'll remember later. That guy?
The one from the tomb.
I can't remember his name. I'm gonna point him out and be like, here is a person who does not last long on this show. You think they're gonna
last? Because it's one of the tomb vampires, but like, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Was he a tomb vampire? No. I'm thinking of somebody else. I don't even think you remember this person. So it's very, 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 very teeny tiny role that I thought was gonna be like a much bigger role. But it was for Bonnie, so I should have known that it wasn't gonna last long. Because nothing Bonnie ever does. Man, if you're a Bonnie fan, get ready to be hopping on the train of pain because
it doesn't stop.
That's all the show is for your dear Bonnie.
It's an express train and
it's the pain train.
That it just keeps going.
Okay, but can we talk about
well,
the
basically
end now?
You have the moment the of whatchamacallit, where Damon's like, the only person who gets to kill you is me. And so basically Damon.
But now we get to the big
But last little tidbit is because like Logan is fellow sitting there bleeding out. Vicky ends up feeding on him, thus completing the transition. She's like, oops, sorry.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
So Vicky's a vampire. Done, done, done.
So anyways, Vicky's a vampire. Logan.
And now Stefan shows up to the porch.
But I love that Elena's, because I feel like this is like a really good decision of Elena's. Because I feel like Elena gets a lot of crap later on about, like, hey, you date vampires. What the fuck is wrong with you? So I feel like her response when she was like, okay, I have all the information.
I'm not going to tell anybody. Don't worry.
I'm not going to tell anybody, but I'm also not going to date you because that's crazy. I feel like we don't give her enough credit for this particular moment. And yes, my Stefan is completely heartbroken. And I feel bad for my Stefan. And I firmly believe that she belongs with Stefan. But
these
also,
these were good choices.
Good choices,
you maybe
Elena.
Should have stuck with
good
them.
You have to give her credit. Like, I fully realize that in order for my ship to be together, one half of my ship has to be making terrible life decisions in order for that to be the case. It's fine if Stefan becomes human someday, blah, blah, blah. But right now, he's a vampire.
It's a little bit
problem.
Of a hiccup.
But it's like perfect Selena angst because Stefan's like crying on the porch and Elena's like sinking to the floor crying.
It's an iconic
why
shot
they
because
love each other to bitses.
Used in like a billion
so
fan
good.
Videos
so
of
good.
the slowly fall down the floor.
Oh my god, it's so abused in fan videos. Oh, it's so great. I've seen so many vids with that where they like they can get her sinking to the floor to the exact beat of the music, and it's spectacular.
It's a fan vid moment.
Spectacular. Check out Vampire Diaries vidders because they are some of the best in the biz. I'm just telling you. All right, did we end on like a cliffhanger?
I think we just ended on the sadness.
We did. I feel like
in a dun 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 moment, like, it's no, we're just going to sit in the angst. Like,
sorry, kids. And sit in the angst. Dun, dun, dun. All right, what's next week that we're doing?
We might do a like kind of a mini cluster. Doing... So I think for the, we're going to do like a 2-episode situation because we have Haunted, which was like the Halloween episode. So there's Vicky stuff, there's Bonnie Witchy stuff. And then we get 162 candles where we get to meet Lexi.
Yes! That's like one of my favorite.
It's wonderful. I mean, get some good stuff and goodness there. So
stick out of his ass. It's so much stuff and goodness. I love stuff and goodness. I feel like Julie Puck said like back in the day, like every season kind of focuses on one of the core three. So I guess like season one would be Elena. Season two is Damon. And then season three, Stefan. Would you agree with that? Sometimes
no,
I think
but
season
I think
one
it's
is
Elena.
Stefan.
Yeah. This
she's
stuff.
She's getting introduced to all of this.
Like all of
stuff.
The arcs are central with her.
Right. Where I feel like in season two, they really
and then season
down
three,
Damon,
you get all the
what's
like
going on with Damon because he was a project.
Stefan and Damon stuff, Stefan and Elena stuff, Stefan and Klaus stuff.
Angst and but I feel like Stefan is like the prime.
Also, I do sincerely love. I was tweeting for the show for the podcast last night, and I was searching for a Stefan Salvatore gif. And if you type into the gif bar on Twitter, if you type Stefan Salvatore out, like the fifth gif that shows up is basically someone did a deep fake on the Titanic like King of the World like stretched out arms moment, and Stefan's face is on Kate Winslet's body and Klaus is Leo.
It's Klaus.
And I like that that's like the fifth most popular Stefan Salvatore gif.
I mean, it's fair because Klaus is badly in love with Stefan, but who isn't in love with Stefan?
Where
I mean,
like Klaus would be perfectly down for being in like a throuple with Stefan and Caroline. Like,
bow down, bitches. They have the same taste in women too. So I just feel like really like the lines with Klaus and who Klaus, you know, we just don't define.
You know,
Klaus
it's a thousand years.
Just keep that fluid. Just keep it fluid.
The Ripper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like come on, like Klaus has
exactly
been to the other side after 1,000 years. I don't buy it.
All we're saying, okay.
That's all I'm saying. All right, so that's our plan. Yep, that's our plan. We're goodness. We're kind of clicking along.
Or 107 and 108.
So it's 107 and 109. We'll probably be on a more regular schedule, at least kind of, because my work has settled down
we'll
a little bit. But yeah,
see how
we'll
things go with the world.
Yeah. We'll squeeze it in. Exactly.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
Thank you again for listening to Mystic Falls Memories. Make sure to subscribe and drop those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts as they really help us out with our visibility. And don't forget to follow us over on Twitter on @MFMemoriesPod for updates on future episodes. Thanks again and bye.